This episode of Dummy is brought to you by Who Are Ya? Check out WhoAreYaDesigns.com for the most clever soccer shirts in all the land. Whether you follow the English Premier League, MLS, or your favorite national teams, Who Are Ya has a shirt for you. Right now, they're offering free shipping to all Dummy listeners when you use promo code DUMMY at checkout. That's D-U-M-M-Y. Enter it in, and you'll get free shipping on your order at WhoAreYaDesigns.com.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Dummy, a weekly conversation among editors and friends of Howler Magazine. My name is George Gracie. I'm the editor of Howler. We're taping this for our friends at Hang Up and Listen. I agreed to this segment in a trade that will see Mike Pesca appear on a yet-to-be-determined future episode of Dummy, and also because you don't say no when the big leagues come calling. But honestly, I'm on shaky ground when it comes to baseball metaphors. So let me introduce the two other people on the line calling in from California. Allison McCann is a journalist at 538 who also happened to write much of the Women's World Cup preview package for the summer edition of Howler. And I believe you're on your way up to Montreal for the U.S.-Germany semifinal on Tuesday, right, Allison?
Hey, George. Thanks for having me. I'm heading up to Montreal tomorrow. Super excited for the game on Tuesday.
Allison, that's exciting. You played soccer at Stanford with our other guest. She's a defender for the U.S. women's national team, who the rest of our listeners might recognize from the right midfield in Friday night's quarterfinal win over China. And after that match, where she suffered a busted nose, if I'm not mistaken, she is one of a relatively small number of people who can say they've actually bled for their country. Kelly O'Hara. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, guys.
It was your nose, right? Is that right?
It was the nose. It is okay. It's still attached, and I don't think it's broken. So, and it stopped bleeding, so it's all good.
Okay, everyone can calm down. Yes. All right, so I want to talk about, the U.S. plays Germany in the semifinal on Tuesday night. But before we get to that game, I want to go back to the quarterfinal against China. First observation, the team was obviously playing without two key players. Megan Rapinoe was one of them, left midfielder usually. She was suspended for yellow card accumulation. And what I saw, and I want to get your thoughts on this, was a much more balanced attack. Things were going up the right side where you were, Kelly, a lot more than I think they had been, at least from what I noticed in previous games. Is that by design, or is Rapinoe such a key player for the team that things naturally tend to go through her when she's on the field?
It was a bit by design. Our game plan going into it was for me to stay wide and play as a true winger, which I tried to do. And yeah, I think that was a great game plan put together by the coaches, and I think we executed it well, and it worked well against China. It was a bit by design for sure.
Well, the other thing I noticed is that with Abby Wambach on the bench, she's such a key target player up top. Amy Rodriguez came in, and she seemed to be so active checking back into the midfield. And Allison, I'm curious if you noticed as well, but what I saw was, you know, whereas we might have been trying to bypass the midfield, it felt like a little bit earlier in the cup, there was just a lot more play among the midfielders and sort of build up play than I'd seen before.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you said they had a much more balanced attack, I think that definitely came from having a much more balanced midfield. This was the first game, at least in my opinion, that we saw one of those central midfielders, this time Morgan Brian, really sitting in that holding midfield position, which I don't think we had seen before with Holiday and Carly Lloyd. And I think having Morgan Brian in that sort of sitting role really just allowed Carly to roam more, which, you know, is what she's so great at. And that obviously proved to be a really fruitful sort of pairing since Carly scored the goal. So yeah, I think that the attack did so well, but I think that was because the midfield had just so much more balance and rhythm to it with having a defined attacking player and a defined holding player.
So Kelly, you guys have come into these games, I think, you know, favorited usually. The stats, and Allison, you know about the stats, say that Germany is favorited for the semifinal. How does that change the way you guys approach it? I mean, you know, will we see sort of a different approach to the one we saw against China, which seemed to be novel in its own right? What are you guys planning for that?
if they are said to be favored, that's okay. They are number one in the world. So I guess by statistics, you should favor them, but that's not really that concerning for us. And in terms of what to look forward to and what we're thinking, we haven't gone over them yet. We actually have our, we'll have our game plan meeting tonight to kind of review them as a team. So for me, I haven't really thought about them that much because you go for, you look at whatever games ahead of you. And so I haven't really gotten ahead of myself. So yeah, I'm just, it'll be interesting to see what the coaches present at the meeting tonight and what they think will be the right way to go at this team.
Allison, can you talk about a little bit what you see in the midfield? I know we were speaking a little bit before and you mentioned that the way that Morgan Brian was deployed in the midfield allowed a player like Carly Lloyd a little bit more freedom. And you know, she obviously ended up scoring the winning goal against China. What were some of the changes that you saw that you thought were positive?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I just keep going back to the midfield. To me, that was the biggest difference in the game against China. I wrote a little bit about this on Friday, that to me, the midfield before had, especially the center mids with Holiday and Carly Lloyd, they're both more attacking-minded players. And even in some games, Jill had said there wasn't, you know, sometimes there were two sixes, one was a six, one was an eight. But I really just didn't think they had a good dynamic of who should be going forward and who should be sitting all the time. To me, the China game was the first time we saw Morgan Brian really playing as a true defensive center mid and Carly playing as an attacking center mid. And I thought that was just really, really helpful to keep the flow going through the midfield a lot better. And for me, the subs too, I'm not just saying that because Kelly's on the line, but I thought Kelly O'Hara and Amy Rodriguez, who we hadn't seen at all this World Cup, just brought so much energy and excitement. You could see they were so just psyched to be out there playing. And it was really, I think, just brought a lot of life into this team that we hadn't seen before. And I think subs can do that really well as, you know, hey, I got nothing to lose. This may be the only 20 minutes I get the whole tournament. And, you know, just playing with excitement and fresh energy. And I thought that was awesome against China.
Kelly, what's your impression on that? I mean, is that something you noticed as well? I don't necessarily want to say it's a coincidence that when you came into the lineup, you know, a lot more play started going through midfield, but it's something that I noticed. And I'm kind of curious from your perspective on the field, how you experienced that. I know also we should mention to listeners that you know, in your previous national team experience, you've been usually a defender. But I know you've played all over the field. So how do you read that?
I'm not exactly sure what it was last game, but I do think that we had a really good and defined game plan and we stuck to it and everybody played the role that was asked of them very well. Like you guys noticed, Mo was sitting, Carly was free to roam, and those are their strengths, I would say. You know, Tobin on the left is staying wide, but she also has the ability to, you know, come inside, and with me pulling them wide on the right. I just think it opened things up. And I think that for some reason it worked really well. And it was, it seemed like we were having good fluid attack. And I think that's what we've been looking for this whole tournament.
Okay. I also want to talk about the strikers. I believe the U.S. has played every single player they brought as a striker. You know, I don't think that's necessarily a normal thing for a team to do in a tournament. Usually, yeah, you have one or two starters and then the rest, sort of, you know, they'll get in if there's an injury or a late game sub. But this time, it seems like everyone's gotten at least a start, which is kind of amazing. I guess I'm curious about how you guys see that as a team. Is that something that, is it hard to get in a flow when the lineup is sort of in flux like that? Or does it kind of just point to the many weapons that this U.S. women's team has when it comes to attacking?
I think that it points to the many weapons. I mean, we all practice day in and day out with each other or, you know, against each other. And we do have such depth at that position. And it's interesting because each player that plays forward has very specific tools, and they are five very different players, I would say. So it's interesting because it's kind of like, I guess the coaches have at their disposal, they can choose who they think will fit what the game calls for. And I think that's probably why we've seen all five of them get significant minutes, which I think it's great. And I think that some people could argue it messes with the flow of the game or the flow of the attack. But like we saw last game, you know, A-Rod got her first start and she played incredibly well. And so I think it's just all about going in, seizing your moment, and not worrying about anything else.
you know, when I was watching the game, she had that really bad mishit when she was in on goal in the very beginning of the game. And I was a little bit worried, but she really recovered from that. And I got to say, I was really impressed with, I think as a striker, your confidence can get down. It sort of influences the way you play the rest of the game, but that wasn't the case for her at all. She was all over the field, really causing trouble. But let's go back to the defense a little bit. You know, the U.S. defense hasn't conceded a goal since the first game, the first half, I believe against Australia. Allison, you've done a lot of the preview work, and you've been watching very closely. Has the U.S. faced an attack as good as Germany's so far? And if not, or even if so, what are the ways that Germany's going to try to break down what has been probably, I think, the strongest defense in the tournament so far?
No, I mean, I don't think the U.S. has played against an attack that is as good as Germany. It's going to be really interesting. Germany plays sort of in a 4-5-1, or I guess a 4-2-3-1. Why they can be so dangerous is that they really like to attack with those front four players, Sausage and Marzahn, who we're not sure if she'll be playing. I know she's had some injuries, are phenomenal at combining together, and Sausage dropping back in and Marzahn getting forward. So I think it'll be really interesting, not just the U.S. defense, but how the midfield and the defense can work together at sort of shutting down this four-person firepower that'll be coming at them. But yeah, I'm not as concerned. I agree with you. I think the defense has been one of the most solid, if not the most solid, in the whole tournament. And you know, Julie Johnson and Becky Sauerbrunn back there have been phenomenal. And I think they'll actually do really well against Germany. I'm less concerned about the defense than I am matching up in the midfield.
Talk to me about the midfield. Why? What is the worry there? What I see is that, okay, Megan Rapinoe and Lauren Holiday are coming back into the lineup. Their suspensions are over. And yet, when in the game we were just talking about, we saw what we think is the most balanced midfield we've seen. So is the problem integrating those two, you know, very, very important players back into a midfield that seemed to be playing pretty well without them?
No, I mean, I don't think having Rapinoe or Holiday back is going to be any sort of detriment. I mean, they've been phenomenal players. The issue with the midfield will be, again, are we going to have, I keep going back to this, a holding mid and an attacking mid. And we saw this a little bit at the end of the Columbia game, even, that Morgan Bryan came in at the end, and we had Bryan, Lloyd, and Holiday all in there together. And I think that could even work really well against Germany, who would be playing in a similar scenario. But yeah, I guess I am concerned if we stick to our 4-4-2 with flat four, and Germany's coming at us with, you know, five in the midfield almost, with Sausage dropping in, and to be so outnumbered there, I think could really leave us exposed. So I do hope that will, you know, improve upon how it was in the China game, with having a holding and an attacking mid, or even three mids in there, and getting Rapinoe back in, stretching the wide like Kelly did so well in the last game. I think that will really prove to be crucial if the U.S. plans to beat Germany, which we hope.
Kelly, can I ask you a question about, you know, it's really not about this tournament. It's more about, you know, what it's like to come in and play in a game like that quarterfinal. I think back to the peak of my own soccer career was making the ODP team as like an under 13 or under 12 kid in Florida. And, you know, I remember going to camp and thinking, man, these guys are so good. Like the level of play is so much higher than what I'm used to with my club team. Do you still have, like, you know, I know you still play at a very high level professionally, but when you go to a tournament like the World Cup, is it a noticeable bump from what you're used to? Do you have to be sharper? Do you have to be more on your game? How do you think about that? And you know, or am I totally off base? Is it sort of just another game for you?
I feel like it's just another game. At the end of the day, I'm practicing with the national team many days out of the year. And anytime we go to practice, I'm playing against the best players in the world, I personally think. And so when we scrimmage at practice, it's basically, I feel like, the number one team in the world against the number two team in the world. So yes, of course, being at the World Cup, that's huge. And it being a World Cup game, it's an incredible feeling, but I felt very prepared and extremely ready for the game against China, even though I hadn't played yet. And I think that's just because of the work that's put in during practice.
Talk about that for a minute. What is it like to be watching this and then to know, okay, you're going to get a shot? Is that added pressure, or do you feel like, finally, you know, I don't need to worry about how I play. I just want to get out there and run around and pass the ball and do well.
There's pressure, yeah, because the outcome of the game is you're contributing to it, being on the field, and you don't want to let your teammates down. But I didn't feel that much pressure. I was just, yeah, I was excited to be able to play. I love getting in games and getting minutes and, you know, came to the World Cup to win a World Cup and help my team. So I was just happy to be able to contribute.
Okay, Allison, you're going to be at the game in Montreal. Are you going? I know you have a couple of former teammates, some friends on the team. Are you going to be going as a fan, as a journalist? Are you going to be wearing face paint? What's going on?
No, I probably won't be going in face paint, but mostly just because I didn't pack any yet. But of course, I mean, I'm going first and foremost as a journalist. I'll be reporting up there for 538. But, you know, I obviously have many close friends, best friends in Kelly, too. It would be hard for me to be there and not be rooting for them and wanting them, you know, to do well against Germany. I think this is going to be absolutely the best game of the World Cup, and it's going to be so exciting to see these two incredible teams go head to head. So even as I am working, I'll be there as a fan, just a general fan of women's soccer either way, but, you know, deep down cheering for the U.S.
I agree. Okay, Kelly, now that we know your nose is okay, we hope you get back on the field. We're really rooting for you guys. Thank you for making some time to join us.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. I'll see you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me, George. And I'll see you up there, Kelly. Good luck.
This episode of Dummy is brought to you by Who Are Ya? Check out whoareyadesigns.com for the most clever soccer shirts in all the land. Whether you follow the English Premier League, MLS, or your favorite national teams, Who Are Ya has a shirt for you. Right now, they're offering free shipping to all Dummy listeners when you use promo code DUMMY at checkout. That's D-U-M-M-Y. Enter it in, and you'll get free shipping on your order at whoareyadesigns.com.